Mainstream Mental Health Radio
with Dr. John Huber.
What do you think you are, crazy or something? Well, you're not.
We're on a mission from God.
News, issues revolving around mental health.
Dr. John Huber, a mental health professional for over 20 years, the chairman for Mainstream Mental Health, a clinical forensic psychologist, and a psychology professor at Texas State University. Breaking the silence of mental health, one day at a time. Discussing the human condition. Providing a sounding board for mental health issues. And making mental health mainstream.
You got a gift, my friend.
Now it's time for Mainstream Mental Health Radio.
Let the healing begin.
With Dr. John Huber. To Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media. Google Plus, Mainstream Mental Health. Instagram, at Mainstream Mental Health. Twitter, at Mainstream MENTL. And search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. John Huber. I want to remind everybody to follow us on all our social media and our website at mainstreammentalhealth.org. You can also find us there at drpsycho.org. That's D-R-P-S-Y-C-H-O. And don't forget to share our radio blogcast with all your friends and family on the Mental Health News Radio Network. And stay with us. We got an amazing show today. We're looking at National Acupuncture Day. Now, you know, this show's about mental health, and believe it or not, we can actually help people deal with different types of mental health issues with acupuncture. So today I decided I would find some experts out there who know what they're talking about, because I'm just a psychologist that have never stuck a needle in anybody. So we have with us Leah Chischilly and Dr. Charles Anderson, and they both are highly respected. They have their own website, modernacupuncture.com, and Leah is a licensed acupuncturist, and Dr. Anderson is a Johns Hopkins and Harvard-trained physician. So this is serious business, and just because it's not something you're used to, Oriental medicine has a lot to benefit for us here, even though we're not in the East. So with that, I'd like to introduce Leah and Dr. Anderson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. So Oriental Medicine Day, Acupuncture Day is coming up on the 24th. Why should I be telling my audience about mental health and acupuncture?
Well, so to your point, Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine Day is the 24th of this month, and the purpose is to bring more awareness to acupuncture in the practice. As it pertains to mental health, it gives people an alternative or an adjunct to medications. It's natural. It's non-invasive. It helps benefit the health overall, so it can really help with a lot of conditions. The World Health Organization recognizes acupuncture as helping things such as depression and anxiety. So it's finally getting its day in the sun, and people are recognizing that it is offering some alternative for mental health disorders.
Well, and I'm somebody who suffered with chronic pain. I broke my shoulder at a very young age, and I've dealt with it the majority of my life. And I know that acupuncture is something we can use for pain, which greatly affects people's mental health status. So is that something you guys do there, too, as opposed to using opioids or maybe in conjunction with other pain medication?
Absolutely. And that's really the main thing that people seek out acupuncture for is pain, and it's fantastic for chronic pain. Again, it's been quoted that it's as effective as morphine for the relief of chronic pain. So it definitely offers an alternative. I know that with the opioid crisis that we're experiencing right now, that people do need another place that they can turn for the pain relief. So acupuncture not only helps to relieve pain, but it also helps to increase blood flow to help heal the problem itself. So it's really getting to the root instead of just addressing the symptoms.
Now, you know, we sit back and we watch acupuncture, and we've seen it in movies over the years. What's the premise behind it? Sticking a needle, you know, you're not doing that haphazardly. You've got specific places you're doing that with. How can you explain that to my listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll keep it very simple. More or less,
okay.
Acupuncture, when you insert a needle into the body, you're going to get a nervous system response because our bodies are very smart and they're going to react to being poked. And, and what it does is it sends the signal to the brain to help release the natural painkillers. And then after some time, the body really starts to relax and it activates the parasympathetic response, which is your rest and digest response. And people do not spend enough time there. And when they do, that's when the body will start to repair and heal itself. So the initial stick is to help the painkillers be released. And then the time that they rest with the needles in, it's usually about 20 minutes or so, helps them to really sink deep into that parasympathetic response. And that's kind of where the magic happens.
So the first stick is kind of like eating really spicy food. It makes your body release endorphins. That's why we like spicy food. It, you know, makes people start sweating and everything else, but it's because those endorphins make us feel good. And that's what the first stick is kind of like. And then,
absolutely.
And then you let the parasympathetic system, nervous system take over and help rest the body, so to speak.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, different types of addictions, whether it's alcohol or heroin or anything else like that. And I've read that this can be very positive for that. What should I, if I'm going to refer one of my patients to an acupuncturist or somebody who does this, an MD who might do this, what should I look for? Is there an accreditation? Is there some level of certainty I can be sure that they're not going to be a charlatan or anything else like that?
And it's a good thing to be aware of,
right? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So you want to look for a licensed acupuncturist or that they have the credentials that are required in the state. And for most states,
okay.
It is a licensure, and that's the title that they'll go by, will be licensed acupuncturist. In order to get an acupuncture license, it usually takes about 3 years in school, 3 to 4 years in school, and it's a master's level program. And then a lot of clinical hours within that master's program. And so they will be treating patients early on. And then they are required to pass national boards. And it's usually 3 to 4 tests depending on what's required in the state.
Hmm. Now, there's also, you know, one of the reasons why I asked that question is because, man, all of a sudden acupuncture seems to be taking off. I see it everywhere. And I used to not see that, you know, just 5 or 10 years ago, it was kind of like, you know, there's a little school here and it's kind of hidden. And now I see them all over the place. I mean, I'm in Austin, Texas. There's at least 2 I'm aware of here. There's another one in San Antonio, Texas. And people are actually benefiting from this. So, you know, it's just like anything else. How do you know you don't have somebody who is just riding the wave and not really who they say they are? And, I'm glad that there are some kind of a national standardization. So if you're on vacation in Los Angeles and you need acupuncture, if you're looking for that accreditation, you know what you're getting, kind of thing. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Now,
this is Dr. Houston here. I mean, one of the key things
yes.
for me, I don't know if you saw this through your training. I had no exposure to this when I was in medical
Correct.
School. Been around for several, you know, thousands of years and no exposure whatsoever. And then coming to meet the team here and understanding what it takes to become an acupuncturist. I knew nothing about the certification process and all the, you know, really intensive training that goes into it. And I think that's something that we're really hoping to make people more aware of, you know, quite frankly, because there are, I forget exactly how many acupuncture schools in the country, and this is not a new process.
No.
This is in existence this way, training people in this way for quite a long time. And it's just coming to people's awareness.
And it's very rigorous. I mean, you know, I have some acquaintances who are going through some of the schools now. And, I mean, they're just as busy as my friends who went through medical school or when they were getting their training. I mean, it's very
Absolutely.
Rigorous. It's not like you sit through a few lectures and, oh, here's your certification. It's a real course of study.
That sure is.
So what do you think Americans are coming forward and stepping and looking at the whole person now, Dr. Anderson. I mean, it used to be, you know, I've got a backache, give me a pain pill. But now we've kind of started making a shift. What do you think that is?
Well, I think that's, you know, just as a, and I like to talk about it in terms of just the changing way that we consume healthcare, right? I mean, we are now thinking about ourselves. I'm not saying putting on the doctor hat now, putting on the patient or healthcare consumer hat here. And I think very differently about my health and wellness. 20 years ago, I thought about it more in terms of disease management, right?
Right.
Now I'm thinking about it in terms of real health promotion, right? So I'm looking at those things that are about promoting and enhancing my health, not just treating my disease state. And I think that's one thing. The other thing, quite honestly, you know, I think the healthcare system has let many people down. You look at the number of people who are, you know, caught in this awful web of addiction with opioids, and that leaves a lot of us very distrustful of the healthcare system. So we're looking for those other ways of managing our health. This goes back quite a ways. You got to remember it was early 2000s even when we realized that 40% of people were looking for these complementary and alternative forms of medicine. So this has gone on for really quite a long time. It's not really, in my mind, nothing new. I think the newness in that there are models like modern acupuncture that are bringing this to Maine and Maine and making it accessible. We have institutions like Massage Envy that have taken massage and brought it to Maine and Maine, bringing these things to people where they're actually looking for it, and making it affordable, accessible, high quality, and all those things that a good service offering should be. And quite honestly, where our hospitals struggle.
Yeah, our hospitals do struggle. And, you know, we sit back and I have privileges at a couple of hospitals, and I watch my patients go through these pain cycles, and they get, you know, everything is sedated, so to speak. I don't think the opioids, the benzodiazepines and all that, I don't think they actually make the pain go away. I think they just make them not care about the pain. And that's one of the things I've heard from my patients who've used acupuncture is, hey, the pain is not there. It's been, you know, the pain's been attacked, not my consciousness.
Yeah, and I've heard that several, I hear that quite often, as a matter of fact, which actually piqued my curiosity about acupuncture. Mm-hmm. You know, as you start to hear that, I had someone who my experience to acupuncture had been through my wife and I through some things around infertility, and that was my first. And a year and a half ago, when I started really hearing these messages, and I said, boy, I need to spend more time understanding what this is.
Exactly. Now, it's been proven to deal with cravings and addictions, and I have some friends from like Korea and different Asian countries who talk about using it during childbirth to deal with the pain. What are some of the things that most people may not think about using acupuncture for that you've utilized it for?
Yeah, I'll start with this, and then Dr. Anderson, I'll let you add if you have anything. But acupuncture can treat just about anything. But the biggest things, people are coming in for pain. They're going to come in for allergies, insomnia, anxiety, depression. People seek it out for weight loss, and what it does is it helps to manage cravings and help improve the digestive system. It's just the everyday stresses and the everyday ailments that so many people have. So that's what we're seeing the most of in our clinics now. But it can help with everything from migraines to rheumatoid arthritis to a long laundry list of things. What do you see the most of, Dr. Anderson?
Okay.
You know what, I'd add? I mean, I've heard of a number of those things. And, again, you go to the World Health Organization website and you see that list. The one that's been fascinating for me, Leah, has been around skin care and rejuvenation and the cosmetic component of acupuncture, which was a complete eye-opener for me, this idea of, you know, natural approaches to skin health that didn't involve toxins. It was really fascinating with great results.
So you're not injecting botulism into somebody? So.
No.
We're not.
Well, you know, being a psychologist, I'm interested in the mechanisms involved in it with, you know, we keep mentioning depression. How does the acupuncture, what do you think the mechanical part of the acupuncture is and that makes depression less for my patients? What is going on there?
Well, if you don't mind, I can speak to that from a Chinese medicine perspective.
Okay.
Chinese medicine is extremely advanced, for especially considering that it's been around so long. But something that they recognized was that organ health can often manifest in specific ways. And so we would look at something like depression from a perspective of what organ is being affected. And so we would then treat that specific organ and help relieve the symptoms of the depression. But I think mostly, just depending on the cause of it, getting people back into that relaxed state, getting them back to that place where they really feel like themselves, can help alleviate a lot of the symptoms that they're experiencing.
Well, and that leads me to a question I get from my patients when I start talking about acupuncture. Well, why don't they just go to, you know, somebody to learn meditation or do meditation on their own if it's just the relaxation part of it? And I know what I think is going on, but what do you think is the difference between the two?
Yeah, you know, well, let me add something there, because there was an interesting study looking at, it always fascinates me how people create mice models for anything, but there's mice model for depression. And they looked at acupuncture with these mice. And what they found is that some of the same neurotransmitters that were addressed with medications for depression were actually triggered by these acupuncture points, which was really fascinating. It really helps us understand there's an Eastern explanation for this, but there are also Western explanations for this as well. And it's those sort of things that, quite honestly, you know, me being the academic I am, I find myself often for those. But that was a really, really compelling example to me that there's something that is happening that's triggering some of the same things that are targeted by some of the medications, which is why we're seeing similar effects.
And one of the things that I think with my patients too, I mean, if it was just the relaxation, they wouldn't be coming to me for psychotherapy. And if we're going to go and do that, I think when they have a licensed professional, they start taking things a little more seriously. And, you know, you're actually doing a procedure on them with these needles. So I think it changes their mindset and allows them to actually be able to be relaxed.
Yeah,
but I'm saying that even more than just the relaxation, there's
some real
and hormonal changes that happen with acupuncture, which is a big part of the realness of the medicine that it is.
Absolutely. And if I can add something to that,
please.
Is the acupuncture's effect on being able to stimulate blood flow, and not people not recognizing the importance of blood flow freely throughout the body, highly oxygenated, highly nutritious blood flowing through the body. And if there's any impairment that, then they're going to have symptoms that present, again, based on specific organs. And anything can impair that blood flow. It can be trauma. It can be mental stress. It can be poor diet. So acupuncture works to get the blood to the areas, deliver the nutrients, the oxygen, everything that the body needs in order to heal itself.
That's cool. Well, here's a question I have, and it's probably my patients may not and my listeners may not be really interested in it, but I am. If I send you a patient, can you give me a just kind of a basic treatment plan that I could say, hey, this is kind of what might be happening when you go there to help ease their anxiety over being stuck with a bunch of needles? Because that's what they think. They go, what, I'm going to get shots all day? No.
Yeah, well, a common misconception is that acupuncture needles are as big as needles that you get a shot with, and they absolutely are not.
Right.
So they're about the thickness of a human hair, so it mm-hmm. does not have to be painful to be effective. What most people will feel is a tiny little prick on insertion, and then very little after that. They'll have a sensation of heaviness, maybe some tingling, and those are all good things. And then they'll rest for about 20 minutes, And then after that, they're given a treatment plan. And this varies patient to patient, just like anything. It's a medicine.
Correct.
It has to be issued in the proper doses in order to be effective. But anticipate a good number of treatments at a high frequency in the beginning, and then it starts to taper off after that. And then eventually, they just want to be coming in for maintenance, come in about 2 times a month just to keep them feeling good, help their immune system, and just maintain their health overall.
And on average, what is a normal treatment? What kind of time investment are you talking about for each treatment?
Only about 30 minutes. Yeah, the way we do it is about 30 minutes. We don't have to know a lot from the patient. We don't have to get into a real extensive medical history with them in order to be able to treat them effectively. And that's kind of the beauty of acupuncture,
mm-hmm.
and the way it is thought of and delivered is that we can do it very quickly. So most of that 30 minutes is just spent resting.
And again, if they could rest on their own, they might not have ever ended up where they're at. But you're teaching them how to rest as well as treating them at the same time. So it's a dual mechanism. I mean, you know, when they come to my office, they want to talk and be emotional and, you know, release that catharsis. And it's not always conducive to that relaxation state. And I think that this is a component that can be utilized whether I'm dealing with depression or post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, that's a marketplace, you know, when I talk about that, because most of my patients with PTSD are military or retired military. And to get them to buy into this, it's kind of a different issue. Just getting them to go to therapy is a hard thing for a lot of them because they think, oh, if I'm mentally ill enough to need therapy, I must be broken. And then this guy's going to refer me off to an acupuncturist. So what's some things that you can give me, either Leah or Dr. Anderson, to help my veterans when we're talking about this, to help them understand that it's just part of being human and we need to utilize all the avenues to help us heal?
Absolutely. I think a big thing is that the veterans, what you'll see, and I've treated a lot of veterans, is that whether it's PTSD or not, but they also have a lot of pain. And that's very common. And so you can send them to acupuncture, treat them for their pain, and at the same time we can address the PTSD. So it's not a feeling of being broken. It's, okay, I'm working to remedy this pain situation that I have, and then they get the added benefit of helping their mind.
Yeah, that's a great way to position it, Leah. The other thing you have to remember is that the Department of Defense, through VA system, is investing a tremendous amount in bringing acupuncture into their environment. They have battlefield acupuncture that they're exploring. So there is a lot of help that we're getting on that side as well to normalize this for our veteran population, which I think you'll also find that will be some benefit.
Definitely, definitely. Now, and again, I do treat a lot of addictions and stuff like that. Are there some direct studies that actually support using acupuncture for opioid addictions?
Yeah, you might check out the National Acupuncture Detox Association, and they have a lot of studies available on their website. And that is a protocol specifically for that purpose. And it's been utilized in several drug courts as an adjunct to additional therapies to help with withdrawal symptoms, to help with the cravings, and to get people past that.
Well, I know one of the biggest things with the addicts, the heroin addicts and opioid addicts that come to me, they're worried about that withdrawal. That scares them more.
Yes.
In fact, a lot of them aren't even getting high anymore. They're just using the heroin to avoid the withdrawal symptoms. It's a pretty sad situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, daily acupuncture or more.
That's what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Even twice a day acupuncture, okay. And, again, that's going to help with endorphin release, blood flow, and all of that's going to help keep them from suffering as badly from the side effects of withdrawal. And, you know, that's also, I think, maybe something that I get a lot of patients who are having a hard time because they've had a normal surgery and they're having a hard time coming off of all the medications for the surgery because their thoughts are cloudy, their brain doesn't seem to be working the way they are used to it working. Is that something that we could utilize acupuncture for so we're not introducing more drugs to them?
Yeah, absolutely. That and for the thought recovery.
That's one of those areas, too, where there's been a lot of research looking at the ability to decrease the need for opioids post-operatively by introducing and including acupuncture. It always reminds me that pain is so complex, right? When you think about diabetes, we don't treat diabetes with one thing. Pain is incredibly complex. So to think that you're just going to give someone a magic pill and that's going to take care of it. And I think in your world and what you're seeing in the complexity of mental health, it's a great example of multiple things that probably need to be part of the solution set that are going to be very customized by each patient. And so part of what we're trying to do, at least increase awareness of this as being something that should be in that black bag.
Excellent. Well, where are some places that my listeners can either get a hold of you or find out more research or any of the writings that you guys are involved with? I don't know if you have any books out or where can they find out about you?
So you can find out about Modern Acupuncture at modernacupuncture.com, and we have locations all over the country and are increasing the number of locations each and every year. So that would be the first place, especially if they're looking to get treatment. I would recommend that everybody go to the World Health Organization website, and they have a nice PDF review and analysis of reports on the controlled clinical trials for acupuncture. And so it tells you the things that acupuncture has been proven for, the things that acupuncture is still, they've shown therapeutic effects, but they still need to learn more, and then some of the things that it hasn't shown any effect on. So that's a great resource for people because then it really sheds light on all the different things that acupuncture can treat.
Well, and again, your website?
modernacupuncture.com.
All right. Well, if you have one thing to leave my listeners, both Leah and Dr. Anderson, what would that be?
Dr. Anderson, I'll let you go first.
I think the most important thing that I'd like to really make sure I leave everyone with is that, you know, this is a form of medicine that has been around for thousands of years. And part of what we're doing here at Modern Acupuncture is we're making it fit people's modern lifestyles. People are busy. People can't afford to take 2 hours out of their busy day. We've come up with a model to be able to deliver this in a way that really meets people where they are. But most importantly, I'd love for people to start to just think about acupuncture in general as something that can be additive to their regimen that they have with their doctors like yourself, and to really know that whether it be at Modern Acupuncture or with some other place, really think about acupuncture as an option, and you know, just really hope that people start to do that.
Yeah.
Leah?
Absolutely, and the thing that I would say is that acupuncture, it's both restorative and preventative. So you can come in if you're experiencing something already that you want help with relief, and then you can come in even if you're healthy, but you want to maintain that health into your later years. So acupuncture can be used for both. And it's so important. People are finally recognizing the importance of preventative care, and there's one more thing that they can add.
I think you're exactly correct, and it's about time. All right, everyone. Well, that concludes today's show on Mainstream Mental Health. And I'd like to encourage everybody to continue following us on the Mental Health News Radio Network and at mainstreammentalhealth.org. And remember that life is what happens while you're making plans. So buckle up.
Thanks for listening to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber. Check us out on social media, Google+. Mainstream Mental Health, Instagram at Mainstream Mental Health, Twitter at Mainstream MENTL, and search for Mainstream Mental Health on Facebook. Please tune in every week to Mainstream Mental Health Radio with your host, Dr. John Huber.